This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, assalatu wassalam, ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, amma ba'd, ayyuhal ikhwatul kiram, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Wa nasallallah ta'ala an yataqabbal minna wa yaghfir lana dhunubana wa yukaffir anna sayyiatina, nas'aluhu bi'ilman nafi' wa rizqan wasi' wa alayhi natawakkal. Wa ilayhi al-masir wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds, peace and blessings on his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After saying salam and the mercy of Allah be with you all, upon all of you, we ask Allah to accept from us, to forgive us, to accept from us our good deed, to give us pure intention for his pleasure and his contentment with us, and we ask him for useful knowledge and understanding that's beneficial and wide sustenance. On him we are utterly dependent, to him is our return, and there is no power and might except that of Allah. If we continue with al-hadith of Tasi Ashar 19th, as Imam Nawawi puts it, and to remind you, it's from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who says, "Kuntu khalfan Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam." I was behind, and in the other version in Ahmad, "Kuntu radifan." I was sitting behind him on an animal, riding behind him. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, yawman, a day. "Faqala li ya ghulam," he said to me, "Oh young man, inni uallimuka kalimat." Let me teach you. I am going to teach you some words of beneficial words, as it's mentioned in the other riwayah as well. Ihfadillaha yahfazk, be mindful of Allah and Allah will protect you. Be ihfadillaha tajidhu tujahak, or in the other version, tajidhu amamak. Be mindful of Allah, you will find him in front of you. Iza sa'alta fas'alillah. When you ask, ask Allah. When you seek help of Allah. And then, wa'lam anna al-ummata law ijtama'at ala an yanfa'uka bi shay. Know that if a people got together to benefit you with something, lam yanfa'uka illa bi shay'in qad katabahu Allahu lak. Know that they can only benefit you. They cannot benefit you except with a thing that Allah has already ordained or written for you. And if they get together, group of people or a nation, to harm you, they cannot harm you with anything except something which Allah has already ordained or written for you. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. The addition in the other version, which is authentic, to remind you, which we'll be looking at hopefully today, inshallah, and completing, is the bit where the Prophet ﷺ continued to say, wa'lam, know, anna fi sabr Allah ma takrahu khayran kathira. Know that in sabr, in that which you dislike, there is great benefits. Yeah. Wa anna nasra ma as-sabr. Then the sabr is used again, this time in a different context. And surely victory comes with sabr. Wa anna al-faraja ma al-karb. And surely relief comes with affliction. وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا, and surely with every difficulty there is ease. The other thing in this second version of the hadith that's not in the first one was the bit where the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ta'arraf ila Allah fi ar-rakha ya'rifuka fi ash-shiddah." Know Allah in prosperity or good times, and He will know you in adversity. So we covered that kind of stuff. We were last time on the part where it's about asking Allah, where the Prophet ﷺ said, "Idha sa'alta fas'alillah wa idha ista'anta fasta'in billah." And we talked a bit about that last time, just to finish off from that. Prophet ﷺ, as I said last time, was teaching about asking and asking help, that only ask Allah directly, wherever it's possible to do so. Everything is in the hands of Allah. That's why. And trying to give, as I said last time, to make believers those who are not those who are dependent, but those who are independent, except dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's to build the ties with Allah more closely and be those who give to others rather than receive and take from others. As we said last time, the upper hand is better, that the Prophet ﷺ said, than the lower hand, the one that's taking. So that was the idea, and included in that, I mentioned last time about asking Allah. That's dua, isn't it, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I mentioned a special time for asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was in the last third of the night, and the hadith in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ said, "Yanzilu Rabbuna tabarak wa ta'ala kulla laylatin ila sama'ad dunya." Our Lord, blessed and exalted is He, descends to the heavens of the earth. We don't know what that means. This is ilmul ghayb about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't fully understand. But it's nearness. That's what it means, certainly to us, out of His mercy and goodness. Every night, the hadith in Sahih Muslim, this happens every night. Hina yabqa thuluthul layl, when the last third of the night is left. Hina yabqa thuluthul layl layl al-akhir, last third part of the night is left. Fayaqul, and he says, glory be to Him, "Man yad'uni fa astajib lah," whoever is called, making dua to me, calling me, so I can answer him or her. "وَمَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي," whoever is asking of me, فَأُعْطِيَهُ, so I will give to him or her. This is the asking bit that's mentioned here about إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَسَأَلِ اللَّهِ. "وَمَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُنِي فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ," whoever is asking forgiveness from me, surely I will forgive him or her. Actually, the whole of this dua, not just the word where it says "may yes aluni," whoever is asking of me, that means asking something specific. That's the idea. But the whole of the dua, if you think about it, is asking, isn't it? Whoever is making dua to me, so at that time, Allah saying, so I will answer it. Whoever is asking something from me, I will surely give it. Whoever is asking forgiveness of me, I will surely grant that forgiveness. All of it is asking, isn't it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here, if we think about it, and this is why Zarabozo doesn't use this hadith to say that, but Imam Zarabozo says there's two types of asking. He divides it into asking, which is haram, and asking which is haram, meaning from human beings. And the second kind of asking, he says, is asking human beings who have the ability to give some assistance in that thing. Okay? So the haram bit is also indicated in this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in Sahih Muslim, when Allah is saying, whoever is making dua to me so I can answer them. Is there anybody else that we should make dua to? No. So two of those things that are mentioned in this hadith, we only ask Allah for them. Dua, we only make dua to Allah. So therefore, quite rightly, Zarabozo said, to make dua to others at shrines and dead people or alive people to make dua to them is haram. This is shirk. This is shirk. Even we don't make dua to the best of creation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No sahabi made dua to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would ask him to ask Allah. Yeah. So to make dua to others, of course, is haram. To ask forgiveness, yeah, that's slightly different. Asking overall forgiveness from the creator is different to asking forgiveness from a creature. That's from the rights of the human being, or, yeah, because we can ask forgiveness, forgive me, say sorry to somebody, that's all right, yeah. Not only all right, that's commendable, yeah. But asking real forgiveness, yeah, in totality is only asked from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that forgiveness is there. And asking otherwise may be various things that you're asking human beings for help with. But as we said last time, the ahadith, which are authentic, indicated a kind of independence or dependence, yeah? And Sahaba would try not to, when the Prophet taught them this, to ask others for help as much as it was possible. So that's a commendable way, which is to, yeah, mustahab, not to ask others for help. And yet, that doesn't mean that you don't help others, but actually to help others instead. Part of asking can, of course, mean, included in that, people do ask and they beg. Begging is a form of asking, isn't it? And in this regard, begging is allowed in three situations. Begging, not begging Allah. Begging Allah is all the time. But begging other human beings. This is a hadith which is reported in Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Qabisa, one of the Sahaba, who says, تَحَمَّلْتُ حَمَالَةً فَأَتَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَسْأَلُهُ فِيهَا فَقَالَ. I was burdened by debt, he says, Qabisa. Yeah, so I came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asking him for help for that debt. Yeah. فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ, so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أَقِمْ حَتَّى تَأْتِيَنَ الصَّدَقَةُ فَنَأْمُرَ لَكَ بِهَا. Just hold on, yeah, until some charity, sadaqah, yeah, comes, yeah, and then we will order or give you something from it. Qal, thumma qal. Then he says, then the Prophet said, Ya Qabisa, innal mas'alata la tahillu illa li ahadi thalathatin. Oh Qabisa, begging, yeah, is not allowed except in three situations. Rajul tahammala hamalatan fahallat lahu almas'alata. A person who is burdened by debt, yeah, it is allowed for him to beg. Hatta yusibaha thumma yumsik, until he, yeah, is alleviated from that debt, then he must stop. He or she must stop. That's the first kind. Second, ورجل أصابته جائحة جاهية اجتاحت ماله فحلت له المسألة. And a person, yeah, whose property is destroyed by a calamity, yeah, it is allowed for him or her to also beg until حتى يصيب قواما من عيش أو قال سدادا من عيش. Until he has the means to stand on his feet or enough to survive and live a sort of normal average life by, then he should stop, in other words. ورجل أصابته فاقة حتى يقوم ثلاثة. This is interesting. And a person who is smitten by poverty, yeah, and three trustworthy, intelligent people from his area, can vouchsafe that he has been hit by this, yeah, poverty, if necessary, in other words. Now, in other words, he's not making it up if it needed to be checked. فَحَلَّتْ لَهُ الْمَسْأَلَةِ It is allowed for him or her then to beg. حَتَّى يُسِيبُ قِوَامًا مِنْ عَيْسِ أَوْ قَالَ سِدَادًا مِنْ عَيْسِ Same thing. Until he's standing on his own feet and living an average normal life, enough for him to sustain himself. Now he doesn't need any more. He's not in the category of that poverty again. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, فَمَا سِوَاهُنَّ مِنَ الْمَسْأَلَةِ يَا قَبِيسَةُ Aside from that, begging, O Qabisa, of any other kind, yeah, suhtan yakuluha sahibuha suhtan. It is suht, yeah, which the person who's doing the begging, yeah, is eating of from this suht. Suhtan can mean haram, but suhtan is also a meaning of it's like the dirt, yeah. Meaning you're not in any of these situations. So when you take this, it's like you're eating haram anyway because you're begging by trickery and you're not in a need to beg. Yeah. And it's also described sort as like dirt. Yeah. That people, they don't want, and the dirt from the point of view from the taker, not from the point of view of the giver. The person giving sadaqah is not described as sort and dirt for them. Yeah, but the one who's taking it, in other words, they're taking it, yeah, when they shouldn't be taking it. And then it's seen as sinful, haram, and also as dirt. So that's about the idea of asking, ask Allah. Yeah, and in what situation is the asking allowed? There are three situations of begging, which is allowed. Otherwise, it is mustahab not to ask people for anything and try and be independent as much as possible. Now, and I mentioned about asking help of Allah, those things I dealt with last time. Just to mention to you, of course, you know, brothers and sisters, reality is that's why in every salah, yeah, every salah we have Al-Fatiha, in which is, and I mentioned it before, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. You alone we worship and serve. You alone we ask for help. Yeah, whoever's given the help of Allah, we don't need anybody or anything else. Yeah, and if those who are turned away from Allah without His help, we will not achieve anything, get anywhere. We can't even be believers doing good deeds. Tawfiq, ability even to do good deeds. Yeah. Anything, everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So of course we need help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to beg Him for help, to be able to even safeguard ourselves from shaitan and to carry on Siratul Mustaqim. Yeah, with His help. Without His help, we cannot achieve anything. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-hadith in Abu Dawud and al-Nasa'i, taught Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he taught him a dua that should be said after every salah. And many of you will know that. He taught him the dua, Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Yeah. Oh Allah, I ask your help, yeah, in remembering you, in doing your dhikr. So we're asking Allah, yeah, Allah, help us in remembering you. Yeah. Because we know from Allah and His Messenger, that remembering Allah, the benefits it has, and I've talked about it in another situation. So, but without Allah's help, we are forgetful, aren't we? And shaitan can make us ghafil. So we ask Allah for help to, yeah, help to remember Him. Wa shukrika, and to be grateful to Him. You know, Allah, I ask your help to be grateful to you. Yeah. Wa husni ibadatik, and I ask your help to be excellent in your worship. Yeah. Even in these things of ibadah and shukr and dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need Allah's help. Yeah. It reminds me of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when the Prophet ﷺ comes forward to do the shafa'ah, when all the other prophets and messengers say, we are unable to help, go to the one whose past and future sins were forgiven. And the Prophet ﷺ says, I'm ready for it. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, then Allah will teach me a dua. Yeah. Allah will teach me a dua, which I will then, yeah, recite to before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. So there you are, even the Prophet ﷺ is dependent totally on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah teaching. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam and Hawa the dua after they committed the sin. Yeah. That's what the Quran says. Allah says it himself. So, of course, that again is showing our utter need and dependence. And that's why when you ask, ask Allah. When you seek help, seek Allah's help. And on that, I wanted to... And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you from places and situations where you can, if you trust and turn to Him sincerely, where you won't expect anything to come from. It comes. Yeah. So then if we move on from that, the Prophet ﷺ mentions about knowing that if a people, even a nation, were to have a word to benefit you with something, which I translated earlier, they wouldn't be able to benefit you with anything except that which Allah had already ordained and written. He controls whether that benefit will come to you or whether that harm will come to you. Yeah, everything is, when it says, what Allah has written for you or against you means what Allah has decreed. That's the meaning of it. And Rufiyat al-Aqlam wa Jaffat al-Suhuf, the pens have been lifted, the pages have been dried, means this is Qadr. This is why this is mentioned like this is not so that we think that we are majboor and forced into this direction like machines. Yeah, we have no choice. Qadr is Allah's knowledge. And the idea of the pens being lifted and the pages dried, of course, Qadr, you know, we discussed in detail before, refer to hadith number 2. And I don't want to repeat everything that I said there about belief in Qadr. But this is just a brief summary of what we already discussed. But here, the idea of the pens being lifted and the pages dried is referring to that which has passed you by. In other words, if you're going to benefit with anything, then you would have benefited from it if Allah had decreed it. Don't cry over spilt milk if you didn't benefit from it. And if you have already faced the harm, then you were meant to face that harm. Yeah? Again, no point having the looking back at the regret of that. That was what you were meant to face, and that was what you were going to, of tribulation, or prosperity, all in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, telling you not to depend on people. Linked with asking, don't ask people. Asking for help, don't ask people. Yeah, don't depend on people. People themselves can't even control for themselves, never mind control what they can do to you. So it actually emboldens us to realize that if Allah wills, it'll happen. Yeah, not arrogant. Yeah, not arrogant. But emboldened and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that realization that no harm, no benefit can come to me except what Allah's will, which turns me only towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the end. Again. And that idea, of course, is many places in the Quran. The Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, for example, in Surah Ali Imran, verse 154, which was after Ghazwa of Uhud, yeah, and the hypocrites, because it was a loss for the believers in Uhud, were trying to say, oh, we told you not to go out to fight over there, And remember, 300 of the hypocrites turned back after coming out with the Prophet ﷺ to go back to Medina. So they betrayed the Muslims in that sense. And then they were making snide remarks afterwards. If those people didn't go out, they wouldn't have got killed, blah, blah, blah. So Allah says, قُلْ لَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ لَبَرَزَ الَّذِينَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَتْلُ إِلَى مَضَاجِعِهِمْ. Say, O Muhammad, if you had been in your homes even, those who it was written for them to be killed would have come to their places. If Allah has decreed it, that's what was going to happen. There was no way out of it. So no point looking back and say, I should have come out, and this is a negative way. And then Allah SWT says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِنْ أَرَادَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِذُرٍّ هَلْ هُنَّ كَاشِفَاتُ الدُّرِّهِ أَوْ أَرَادَنِي بِرَحْمَةٍ هَلْ هُنَّ مُمْسِكَاتُ رَحْمَتِهِ قُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ يَتَوَكَّلُ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. In Surah Zumar, Surah 39, verse 38, Allah says, say, do you realize that those who you call on besides Allah, if Allah willed for me any harm, yeah? Is there any of those that you're calling those idols? And is there any from them that can remove from me that harm? Yeah. Oh, if Allah wills for me mercy, is there any from amongst them that can hold back that mercy? Yeah. Who can hold back that mercy of Allah's mercy? Say, Hasbi Allah, Allah is enough for me. Yeah, alayhi yatawakkalul mutawakkilun. On him, the people who are mutawakkilun are utterly, those who are the ones who are utterly dependent, depend only on him. Yeah, on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the same idea being brought out. Rufiyatil aqlam wa jaffatu suhuf. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is referring to Qadr, isn't it? Again, as I said before. For things that have gone. It is not saying to you, as is reported in Sahih Muslim, because even Sahaba had sometimes difficulty understanding this idea. So in Sahih Muslim and Tirmidhi, we have hadith where Ibn Umar reports that the Prophet ﷺ said, Inna Allah kataba maqadir al-khala'iq. Surely Allah has written the measures for the creatures. قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِخَمْسِينَ أَلْفْ سَنَةٍ. Yeah, before Allah created the heavens and the earth by 50,000 years. This is all in ghaib. Even the 50,000 years, we don't really understand what that means. It's a measure of time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is outside time. But the idea that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows, that's the idea. So from Jabir in Sahih Muslim, a man says, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, Fima amal al-yawm, Afima jaffat bihil aqlam, wa jarrat bihil maqadir, am fima yastaqbil. How do you see our deeds, yeah, the deeds nowadays in our present time? Is it, yeah, that which the pens have dried upon already, yeah, and the that which Allah has in written in his for the measure for us, yeah, or is it that something which is established in the future? So he's given this idea of Qadr, which the Qadariya, yeah, a small sect of believers had the idea that the fate is established by us as we do it. Allah just finds out as we do it, yeah, which is the popular Christian idea of Qadr as well. So, and this is what this Sahabi said to the Prophet ﷺ said. So the Prophet ﷺ rejects this idea. He says, La bal fi ma jaffat bihis aqlam. Yeah, it's not that you're doing it and Allah's not aware what you're doing, and now Qadr's fate is established. Yeah, it is what the pens have already dried upon. In other words, Allah already knows. Yeah. Then look what the man says. He says, Fafim al amal. He's saying, what's the point of then doing anything? Because if you're saying it's already been decided, yeah, this is the response you get from the person who doesn't understand the idea of qadr. Then what's the point, in other words? So the Prophet ﷺ said, "I'malu fa kullu muyassara lima khalaqala." Yeah, he said, you carry on with your intention of doing good deeds. Yeah. So he said, everyone is facilitated for what he or she was created for. Yeah. Yeah. If you intend to do good deeds, then Allah will open the doors and ways for you to do good deeds. If you're bent on doing bad deeds, then that's the way you'll go. Yeah. Allah's not forcing you. In other words, you make the decision. So Ibn Taymiyyah said nicely, he said, for that, other best way just to remember is the power and knowledge of Allah. But what you have done, yeah, to look at it as that's what was meant to happen, it's already happened, right? And you face the consequences of that, trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that what is in front of you, make your sincere intentions and strive along Siratul Mustaqim to better yourself and do good to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. And hope and pray, asking Allah and His help that Allah will open the ways and facilitate good for you because you are sincere in your belief and reliance on Him. That's the way to understand these comments here in the hadith, which are to do with, again, reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, really, as well as qadr. The idea of qadr being mentioned here is really to show complete dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of how powerless we really are. Yeah, and yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His wisdom has given us the choice, the ability to make choices. Prophet then says, and we go to the second version of the hadith for a few additions, and he says, وَعْلَمْ نَوْ أَنَّ فِي الصَّبْرْ عَلَى مَا تَكْرَهُ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Surely in sabr, upon that which you dislike, is great benefit. Ibn Rajab tends to divide the sabr into two kinds. He says that there's a sabr, yeah, when you're facing that which you dislike, yeah, but you are, how does he put it? You are happy with it, yeah? You're happy with it. You're content with it, let's put it that way, of facing this tribulation, even though you dislike it. So it could be pain, suffering, whatever it is, but you're content with it, yeah? And he says this is the higher level of sabr. And in one place he says that it is that you do not have the hope or wish for it to pass away, this pain and this suffering, okay? And then he said, I'll come back to that. Then he says the second kind of sabr is, yeah, of a lower category, but it's still a good mustahab, yeah, or wajib, yeah. And that is that the one, you're not happy with it, you're not content with it, but you're patient, yeah. You're patient in Allah, depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, you are wishing and hoping for it to dissipate and go away, the suffering that you're facing. So I was thinking about this, and I'm not necessarily in agreement with Ibn Rajab on this. Firstly, I don't think the hadith actually obviously differentiates that, or even though it mentions two kinds of sabr, it's not these two kinds. This is still dealing with the first kind of sabr. That is having sabr, where the Prophet ﷺ said, having sabr, and I'll explain this sabr in a minute, ala ma takrahu khayran kathira, on that which you dislike, there is great, great good in it. Clearly, the Prophet ﷺ is saying himself that you dislike it. So if you dislike it, the pain and suffering, how are you going to be pleased with it at the same time? Which human being is pleased in being in suffering in this world or the hereafter, even in this world? Certainly not with the idea that I don't wish it to dissipate. What does that mean? Which human being, a believer or otherwise, even Ayyub alayhi salam, he had to wait for a long time. It's not that he didn't wish it for his suffering to go away. Of course he did. That's the whole point of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't it? To give you sabr, but also for it to go away. So I don't accept this, because I don't think this is human nature, that this is the high level of sabr where you are actually pleased with affliction and trial and tribulation, and you don't want it actually to go away. No, I can't see that. The Prophet ﷺ didn't like to be in a state of suffering anyway. That's not his sunnah and his way. Yeah. So I would say that it is talking about, of course, there's no difference. Reality is, it's having patience, not losing it, not getting angry and saying against God things that you'll regret, but being patient means still having the character and quality to continue serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If one limb goes, use the other limb. If you're unable to stand up and pray, then you sit down and pray. If you can't even sit down and pray, you lie down and still pray. Yeah, this is the idea also of sabr, relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you're hoping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you shifa. Don't we pray for shifa? And that the pain and suffering will go so you can stand up and pray again. Yeah? And you get seha back again. So I think that's really the idea of sabr. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, innama yuwaffa sabiruna ajrahum bighayri hisab, surely those who have sabr, patience and steadfastness, they will be completely rewarded. Their reward will be without any account. Yeah? Meaning limitless reward. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. And wabashiri sabirin, give glad tidings to the sabirin. Alladhina idha asabatuhum musiba, when... This is the kind of sabr it's talking about in this part of the hadith. The Quran says, give glad tidings to those who are patient, those who, when any kind of calamity or difficulty or tribulation befalls them, they say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Yeah, not just words. Surely, we belong to Allah, and surely to Him is our return. Yeah, we're totally dependent on Him. And that's how they continue. Knowing ma asaba min musibatin illa bi idhnillah, as the Quran says, no tribulation or difficulty or trial befalls except by the will of Allah. Back to that idea of Allah controlling everything. Yes, we know it can only happen if Allah wills it. Wa man yu'min billahi yahdi qalbah, is in Surah Taghabun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and whoever believes in Allah, Allah will guide his or her heart in that, during that tribulation and time. So I'm afraid Ibn Rajab, I disagree with in that, with the greatest of respect for him. The sabr that we're talking about here, about what one dislikes, as the Prophet ﷺ says, from the hardship, is to have sabr in that which you dislike. there is great benefit in it, which is what I've been saying in the ayat I just mentioned as well, how these people are rewarded. Now, however, the Prophet mentions sabr again. Now he says, وَأَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ, and know that victory comes with sabr. This victory with sabr gives an indication of a different meaning of sabr, doesn't it? And here, when he's talking about victory, you can say that this kind of sabr is really talking about, how shall I put it? Victory coming with sabr is talking about steadfastness. Yeah, steadfastness. Victory comes with sabr, meaning that it can include here, the idea of sabr here is jihad. Jihad, but the element of jihad here also has two aspects. It can be jihad and nafs, jihad of the self-control, and jihad to mean physical in the way of qital as well, fighting. Both are implied here, that victory comes with sabr, with steadfastness, with firmness, with control and strength. That's what he's talking about. Unless you're steadfast in the face of when war is happening, the face of the enemy in battle, not cowardice, so you run in the other direction, but steadfast, yeah? Then there's, of course, if you do the opposite, there's little chance of victory. So victory comes with sabr, with steadfastness, and that kind of strength. That victory may be victory in dunya, but it may be that you get shahada, and do you still get victory? Yes. the shaheed is victorious as well. So victory comes with sabr in a physical sense of qital and fighting. Then the other type, which is jihad as well, but jihad and nafs, as ulama called it. Ibn Rajab mentions that as well. And just give me one second. Let me just find where he mentions it. Yeah. And I'm amazed at Ibn Rajab in this one, because many people believe that this to be an authentic hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. But quite rightly, Ibn Rajab doesn't mention it like that. He actually points out that this is not authentic hadith related from the Prophet ﷺ, as people claim. This is da'if, but it is a statement of, I'm saying this now, it is a statement of a pious tabi'i called Ibn Abi Abla. Yeah, Ibn Abi Abla, who said to a people at his time who came back from fighting in the way of Allah, when they came back, he said to them, Jitum min al jihad al aswar, fama fa'altum fil jihad al akbar. You've come back from doing this lesser jihad, so I wonder how you will fare and do in the greater jihad. They said to him, so what's the greater jihad? They thought they'd come back from the greater jihad. He said, jihad al-qalb, or jihad al-nafs. Yeah, your struggle and striving against yourself. Yeah, and that is known as a sabr. Yeah, sabr here means, if you use the word sabr, part of that jihad al-nafs, is when shahawat and desire come and shaitan tries to entice us towards haram, pull in that direction, yeah? To control oneself from going there and have that sabr, that requires jihad and a struggle, yeah? That is requiring jihad and struggle, to control oneself from falling into the trap of all the desire inside trying to push you that way, that is sabr, yeah? So that is also the idea of this is not you're facing tribulation kind of sabr, is it? That was covered already. This is not tribulation. This is you're being tested. Shaitan pulling in the direction of from your desires, yeah, with haram things. And to control yourself, to have that steadfastness and sabr of control, yeah, that is victory comes with sabr. Victory over shaitan here, yeah. Victory over the desires here. Victory over haram to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is victory for believers and in the sense of the hereafter. So, I hope that's clarifies that. Then we have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, after mentioning the two kinds of sabr, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجَ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Okay. أَنَّ الْفَرَجَ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ. It's important that for the non-Arabs to realize that the word is faraja, faraj. Yeah. And this shows you pronunciation and getting the fatha and kasra and stuff right is important. Because if you say instead of faraja and you say farj, it has a totally different meaning. Yeah. Farj means private parts. Yeah. Farj means private parts. But faraj here, it has the same root, but it's to do with relief or opening a place. Yeah, so that's the idea of farj as well. But here it means relief, not faraj. Fa with a fatha, ra with a fatha, and jim, it means relief. Yeah, relief comes, and it says mal kerb, with affliction, with affliction. Some people got bogged down by it, became a bit literalist about it, and said, oh, well, it doesn't mean after, it means with. No, reality is that relief comes with affliction. Doesn't literally mean it only comes immediately with it. It can mean that there is relief of something else at the same time as the affliction. Yeah. But language, its real meaning is that, yeah, that relief does come, and it may come very soon. That's the idea of with. It may come later in this world or later in the hereafter even. Yeah, later in the hereafter even. So relief comes with affliction. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, in the Quran, وَالَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا قَنَتُوا وَيَنْشُرُ رَحْمَتَهُ. It is he who sends down the rain after, yeah, they have become full of despair. And he sends down, spreads around, yeah, his mercy, yeah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when the people are faced with calamity and tribulation, affliction, hatta yaqula ar-rasul walladhina amanu ma'ah mata nasrullah ala inna nasrullahi qarib, until the messenger and those believers who are with him, they call out, when will the help of Allah come? Yeah, surely the help of Allah is near. So, you know, in times of affliction, relief can be, actually death can be a relief. Yeah. And if somebody's trusted in Allah and believed, then that relief will be not just death, but what comes after it is the relief. Yeah. What better relief than to be a martyr? What better relief than to be given the glad tidings of being in paradise forever and ever? So that's the idea of relief can be even in the hereafter, not what you see necessarily here. So here, I want to say this also mentioning something which is interesting, how to understand that relief comes with affliction. And the next part is that, وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, with every difficulty comes ease. If we think about it, brothers and sisters, if we don't know what affliction is, we'll never know what relief is. Is that right? If we don't know what affliction or difficulty is, then we'll, if we don't know what sadness is, we don't know what happiness is. If we don't know what affliction is, we'll never know what relief is. And that's why it says, surely, yeah, relief comes with affliction. You only realize what relief is when you've had affliction. This is the nature and laws of Allah. Yeah. The people are constantly going through these cycles. Trial, difficulty, affliction, relief. Trial, difficulty, affliction, relief. Yeah. Relief does come. Yeah. Some people, when somebody dies, for example, who's loved one, they think, I'm never going to get over this. I'm going to cry all the time. I'm not going to eat. I'm just going to starve and die to death. Doesn't happen, does it? Because you actually, after some time, can't carry on crying. And you may feel done, but you carry on. You get up and you start living. That's in the majority of the cases, it happens. Yeah. And that's why, as for believers, to despair like that for long periods of time is not acceptable. It's not trusting in Allah's justice and His decision either. Yeah, so relief does come. And the story of the Anbiya, Ayub alayhi salam, classic, and many others, whether it's Yusuf alayhi salam, all of them went through affliction and relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the idea of, that's the idea that you can only realize relief is when hardship happens. So the ease, yeah, or relief can be at the same time. Because you may have hardship in one thing and then you have relief from something else. That's also possible, isn't it? Yeah. Life is complex. Yeah. So one hardship comes, but you might get relief from something else. So that can be at the same time. Yeah. And faraja ma'al karam. Yeah. Or that particular affliction. Yeah. It may mean you get used to the affliction. That can mean relief, can't it, as well? Yeah. You get used to it. Yeah. I get paralyzed for life. Initially, it's such a massive thing. But with the right attitude and trusting in Allah, one gets used to it. And then there is relief. Yeah. Even though you stay in a paralyzed state. That's just one simple example. So why the Prophet started mentioning this about with difficulty comes ease? Same idea. Difficulty with comes ease. It may ease in something else at the same time. The ease may come soon, it may come later. Or the ease may come in dunya later on, or even the akhirah, the ease comes. Why this is mentioned, surely with relief comes with affliction, and ease comes with every difficulty there is ease. It's again, as the overarching message of the hadith is not giving up and despairing, but depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and always hoping for His goodness upon us, His mercy, His forgiveness, His relief, His easing the way for us. Yeah? Yeah? And that hence asking Him only, asking His help only. Yeah? Knowing that nobody else can help us, save us, harm us, benefit us, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the message of the hadith. So even this part is all linked and revolving around the same thing that's being told to Abdullah ibn Abbas and us after, that, yeah, be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because everything is in control. He will help you if you are always mindful and going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, He'll be there for you, yeah, in this world and the next, and He will help you. He will ease it for you, the path along the Surat al-Mustaqim. And when you face difficulties, be patient and he will be there for you as well. Yeah, with much good in reward. And so that's the overarching message of the hadith, which ends with a few words, which is I've already mentioned them. وَأَنَّمَا الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا. And with every difficulty comes ease. So I hope that in the end, what I've said in the last few moments summarizes the whole gist of what this hadith is about. Yeah. All the different elements of it are revolving around the same thing. The core of it is our dependence and reliance and turning to Allah, our creator. That's the objective of this teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Any questions, brothers and sisters? No, she's all right. Zafar, nothing written?
No, Sheikh, no, nothing in the chat.
That's fine. Well, give it another 30 seconds if somebody wants to ask. No, no, I will.
Can you hear me?
Alaykum as-salam.
How are you? I hope you're well.
Alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah khairan for your wonderful, informative session as well. Akhi, I was actually quite surprised by when you were first reading about what Ibn Rajab was saying about almost having to endure the suffering, as in that was almost like a wish. And I'm almost delighted actually that you disagree with it, because it did sit, as somebody who's lay, it sat quite uncomfortably with me, thinking that I just don't understand what he's talking about. Perhaps it's a higher spiritual level than what I'm capable of. But it is lovely that, mashallah, you do give us your opinion, your learned opinion. I just wanted to thank you for that, because it's much needed, Akhi, because many times when we do try to read books and or interpretations, I think sometimes we might not get the full meaning and just assume that the author is the one who always has the right opinion of the hadith. So it is very fortunate, alhamdulillah, and nice to have you as a good resource on this. So jazakallah khairan for that.
Allah accept from us and forgive us. Everything good is from him.
Amen.
Examine. And you're right. I think it's the background of our dear, respected, wonderful scholar Ibn Rajab is a Sufi background, and I think that's the kind of thing. But it doesn't fit with the Sunan of Allah, how he created human beings, and neither with messengers and prophets.
Of course.
No prophet and messenger wanted to remain in suffering. Yeah. This is not the way.
Was it an akhi, do you think, in the hope of perhaps attaining a higher reward for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the longer it goes on?
Yeah, I don't mind. The idea is endurance anyway, and sabr, that's what it means. But not the idea of, I don't wish this to go away. Subhanallah.
Of course.
That's what I had a problem with.
Of course.
Exactly. Of course, ya Allah, give me relief.
Yes.
That's what we'd be praying, wouldn't we? Mm. With sabr, we were saying, because the idea is when we're suffering, the idea is that Allah, when he loves somebody, he gives them trials and because it makes them turn back to him and make dua to him. What they're making dua for? Ya Allah, carry on making me suffer. Ya Allah, carry on making me. Who's astaghfirullah? Who's going to say that?
Of course. Akhi, wasn't there a story of a Sahaba who actually did that? He was asking, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the punishment in this life rather than the hereafter. And was it not that the Prophet ﷺ warned people against doing that, because the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very severe when it arrives, and better to seek Allah's forgiveness? I don't know whether that was an authentic hadith, but one thing that I did read, and I was just wondering about that.
I can't remember that, but there are hadith to do with don't ask to be put in
to be punished, yes. or to be put into
a or to be put to trial or tribulation. In fact, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi asked the opposite in the dua, which I mentioned a couple of weeks ago. He's saying, and if you're going to try and give tribulation to a people, yeah, take me before you before that tribulation comes. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Yes. Thank you, Akhi. Just wanted to discuss. Thank you so much.
Any other questions? That's all right. We will close that then, Zafar. That's all right.
Yes, Sheikh. Jazakallah khairan.
Inshallah, next week, inshallah, we should be starting, believe it or not, hadith number 20. We're creeping and crawling along. I hope people are not in a haste to finish the 42 hadith. That wasn't my, of course, we want to complete it, but if you want the cursory review of it, there's much material around that you can just read to those pages, move on, no problem. And that's not my objective. As you'll know.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sheikh. Can I just quickly ask, when is the, out of this context, when is the whereabouts, sorry, is it a virtual talk on Saturday about Ramadan, inshallah?
Oh, where? Sorry, I didn't understand the question.
I just wonder whether the Ramadan talk on Saturday, is it? Is it virtual or is it?
Oh, no, I'm coming to the center, believe it or not.
Oh, inshallah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm coming to the center. No, it's not virtual.
No, okay.
Inshallah. Allah keep us safe. Yeah, no, I'm actually going to come there, inshallah. Hope to see you there, inshallah.
Thank you, inshallah.
Take care, all of you. Barakallahu feekum.
Jazakallah khairan.
Do I have permission?
Yes, sir. Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. Thank you so much.
Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.